please remember that the Lucy Pod is not a replacement for professional medical advice. If you have questions or concerns about your own amazing brain, please speak to a medical professional. I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which I speak to you all today, the peoples of the Kulin Nation. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Alrighty, let's do it. So hello everyone and welcome back to the Lucy Pod. I hope that you are all well and are staying safe. Today I have two guests joining me to talk about all things ADHD. Please welcome Ron and Liz to the pod. Hi Ron, hi Liz, how are you both today?
Hey, I'm good. Liz. Good.
Hey, Lucy. Thank you so much for having us. So excited to be here.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah. Thank you so much. So I'll start with you first, Liz. Tell us about yourself, plug your Instagram, your podcast. Tell us about what you do, who you are, and your interests.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I like dogs. No. I'm an ADHD coach. I'm from Sydney, Australia. And I got into the ADHD world when my son was diagnosed with ADHD when he was 5. And before that, I hadn't really heard about ADHD apart from, maybe it was something that really parents of really naughty little boys use to make excuses for them. I know this is, it's so crazy for me to even think like that now. I've just went on a deep dive into ADHD, mostly because I had this wonderful kid in front of me who I knew his heart, I knew his strengths, and I could just see that the world wasn't able to see it. And because the world wasn't able to see what I saw, he was being corrected all the time and he felt like shit about himself. So that's when I went and learnt more about ADHD. And because now I know I have ADHD myself, I just took it to the next level and I thought, I'm going to make this my job. And then I did. Mm-hmm. And I went and became an ADHD coach. And now I work with people all around the world to help them live a better life with their ADHD. And I also have a podcast with Ron called
Yes,
I Forgot to Tell You Something, and we're having a lot of fun doing that. And I also run retreats for women with ADHD.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Now, Ron, tell us about yourself, plug your Insta, tell us about what you do.
I'll plug Liz's Insta too.
I forgot that.
Also, I'm really impressed, Liz, that you confidently said when your son got diagnosed with ADHD, because that is constantly the joke on our podcast. She can't remember what year it was or how old he was.
Or how old he is. And apparently I've been a mother.
Where he is, we don't know.
I've been not a mother clue. Since 1954. Yeah. We're not sure. Yeah.
Someone do the math.
Yeah. No, one time we were doing the math on it and the math wasn't math. And then it was like a good 20 minutes of us trying to figure out how old Freddie was. But that's good stuff. So I was diagnosed with ADHD in the late 90s when I was 11. And at the time, it was, I was this naughty little boy, as Liz likes to put it, who was testing out of stuff. They were like, oh, I was so smart, but he doesn't finish his homework and he doesn't sit still and he keeps talking and he just can't like focus on things and he forgets stuff all the time. And it's like, basically here's some meds, go reach your potential. And that didn't happen. things got a little better. The meds really helped manage stuff, but especially when you're that age and you don't have the help and support to figure out how to start doing things, it still kind of falls by the wayside. I also unfortunately had, and at no real fault of their own, but meds were kind of used a little bit as like a shaming kind of thing. So I had a bad relationship around meds where it was just like, if I didn't turn in homework or I hadn't cleaned my room, it was like, oh, you must not have taken your meds. And so I had a bad relationship with those meds. So the second that I left high school, I stopped taking them. And I also stopped really thinking of myself as an ADHDer. I never really took that identity on or even thought about it again until just about like 5 or 6 years ago. And it was after, you know, a decade or two of trying to really like raw dog it through life without getting any support or help and just thinking that I could will my way into finishing things. And it might happen in the beginning because a lot of us ADHDers, you know, get excited by new things. I would be super jazzed about it, really optimistic, be like, this is it. This is the time that things are just going to change and I'm going to do great and I'm going to finish and it's going to be awesome. And then when it didn't happen, it, you know, the shame and guilt cycles happened again. So then I started going to therapy and then kind of reacquainted myself with ADHD. I started posting on TikTok and had some videos that, you know, got relatively big at that time and people started reaching out to me and
slay.
The moments of like when I would get a message of someone random just telling me, you just made me feel so seen, or I am so happy that there's people out there that make me feel like I'm not alone. Cause I was just being vulnerable and being like, hey, anybody else struggle to brush their teeth twice in a day? Cause that's me all the time. And people are like,
just asking for a friend also.
Like, I've been so ashamed. And it's really nice to see you do this. And so I was like brought to tears by a lot of messages and so many people asking me for help. And I was like, I don't really know what, like, I think I might know what to do, but also I don't have any certification or anything. And I was like, you know what, then I'm going to go get that. So I ended up going to ADCA, the ADD Coaching Academy, and met Liz at ADCA.
That is so cool. There's an ADHD Coaching Academy. Why don't I know about this?
And it's really great because it's, you know, they give you a lot of basic info on ADHD. And I think, too, as someone that was diagnosed in the late 90s, I had no idea how much science and info had changed around it and the conversations that people were having around it. And so I learned a ton and really obsessed over learning a ton. And so I just continually tried to know more because I wanted to make sure when I wanted to help people. And when I did, I wanted to make sure I was telling them the right thing. So that happened. And then I keep making content. And then I started this wonderful podcast with Liz, and our Instagram is at I Forgot Pod.
Such a good name. Such a good name.
My Instagram is ADHD underscore Ron. And I'm ADHD Coach Ron in a lot of other places, but ADHD underscore Ron is pretty good. And then Liz,
it will be in the description.
Yeah. Thank you. Liz, what's your Instagram?
Liz Welshman underscore ADHD.
There you go. A lot of underscores.
We got there in the end. Sorry, Lucy.
Yeah, we figured it. It's okay. We don't know. I should have remembered.
We cover each other. It's fine. It's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, it's working out. So usually what I like to do with my guests is ask them a series of three questions. And the first one is, when were you diagnosed with ADHD, which you both already answered.
Nice.
So the next thing I like to ask guests is, what are your current hyperfixations / special interests?
Ron,
do you want me to go first? You want me to go first? Yeah. I will say my current hyperfixation is, and this has a lot to do with, you know, as ADHDers, when we have big events coming up, it's really difficult to see anything else. And so sometimes we're just like obsessing over it. For me,
with this podcast.
Yeah. For me, my wife is pregnant and we'll be expecting a little baby girl in 2 months. So I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I am so hardcore, like she's nesting and I'm just like trying to get everything ready. Right. Oh my gosh. We're just like painting and building stuff. And it's so crazy how you're like taking care of this little tiny, you know, human that you are like afraid anything could happen to. And they send you all of this stuff that has a billion parts to it and the directions are shit. Like, it's just like, they're like, yeah, throw it all together. And I'm just sitting in front of the TV for hours, like trying to put together a crib and put together like tables. And I'm like, yeah. this stuff's going to break. I'm going to need to like make sure everything's glued, not only,
and using that as like your measurement of whether you're going to be a good father or not. But can I follow the instructions here?
Terrible with instructions too. Like,
same. I'm useless. Like, God bless anyone who can do it. Like, when I have a baby, I'm just gonna say to my boyfriend, like, you build everything. I'm not getting involved in the IKEA furniture. I will love this child, don't get me wrong, but you figure it out, because I love you, but not that much.
Yeah, usually my wife is the one that does all. She's the handy one in the house. Like, she will install a freaking toilet or like do electrical stuff. Like, she's like, let me just find a YouTube video and put it together. And I'm like, yeah, go for it. Because it's not going to be.
You do it. Your energy is there, though. And that's such a nice hyperfixation. Like, that's a very nice thing to be fixated on. It's healthy. I mean,
it's purposeful,
as long as you don't get it's purposeful, and it's not like you're, you know, that's actually a very sweet thing. And I have baby fever, so I'm like, this is so beautiful.
how old are you, Lucy?
23. So I'm still young.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I'm a baby. Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. I love that you're doing this podcast. I think that it's, don't underestimate the value it brings, sharing your experiences. For and, sure. You know, that so many people would be learning from you and seeing themselves in you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, what about you? What are your hyperfixations and special interests?
God, what hour is it? look, at the moment, I have a very expensive hyperfixation, and that, not as expensive as a baby, though, I will say. I'm really, my daughter and I are really horse mad at the moment. Our lives are revolving around horses, and
you're a horse girl.
Yeah, I'm a horse girl, and I have no business being a horse girl. But here we are, and oh my gosh, it's just like, I thought parenting was a humbling experience, but yeah,
horses.
Wow. I am just screwing up thoroughly every single day, and learning and asking questions. And, you know, some of my mistakes have been really dangerous too, but no one's dead yet. So yay.
And the operative word is yes. So, you know,
exactly.
That's all. I love it. Horses.
Yeah.
See, another nice, healthy hyperfixation, animals, nature, babies.
I know.
That's good.
I know.
That's
exactly.
Good.
Imagine we'd come and said like cocaine or something.
Murder.
Yeah.
Murder. I am obsessed making people's lives.
Yeah. Where I can hide bodies, right?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that to happen. Like, maybe I should vet my guests, because I can just be like, oh, what's your hyperfixation? It's like, babies. That's good. That's good. The next question I have, and then we'll get into the pod, is what is an ADHD trait that you feel is unique to you? Like, you feel like it could just be your personality, or it's just your ADHD and no one else really does this thing.
Lucy, you know, I listened to a couple of your episodes this week, and I've actually been thinking about how I might answer this question. And I don't know if maybe I'm a basic bitch, but if I think of any of my ADHD traits, they are so not unique. Like,
you're not special.
No. I mean, you know, my brand of ADHD is kind of the overfunctioning. I can take that other thing on. I'll just keep going, you know, because if you're already spinning your wheels hard, like, you can just spin them harder, right? Difficulty with time, as in weighing up the costs of my decisions now against how future me might feel. And I honestly cannot think of one trait that is unique to me. Of course,
it's okay.
The combinations are unique.
Mm.
The presentation is unique, but
yeah.
How about you, Ron?
Oh, wow. Let's just, you know, sidestep the question.
No, it's okay.
No, right. So I was thinking while you were talking about that, and there's it's interesting too, because like we've had this discussion before about what's an ADHD trait, what's a personality trait, what's an ADHD symptom, right? And like so often we talk about things as like, well, that's not an ADHD thing. It's just something associated with ADHD because of the struggles that we're having, at least to this, right?
Yeah.
Something that I'm still trying to figure out, and I think there are a few ADHDers that I've had related that have related to this when I bring it up, but a lot of them are like, oh, that's not me. But I, so I like to play video games, and my favorite thing to do is to restart them, which I don't know.
Okay, so like,
to like, you know, I've played a lot of like MMORPGs in my time, and I've had friends that are like, oh, let's get to the like level 60 or whatever it is, like the level cap, and Ron's created 75 characters that he's got to level 5, and he just like kind of tweaks them a little bit, or they end up still being the same, but then I'm like, I just want to start over again, and I'll never get anywhere. I just want to start over constantly. And I have, you know, I play any kind of like sim, like civilization game or something like that. And I have 750 saves.
Save files. Yeah, of course.
And it's never like done. I've never, like, I look back at all the video games I played in my life. I have not beaten many, but I've played them 750 hours each. And it's like, I know the first hour and a half, 2 hours of a game, like the back of my hand, because I just keep restarting it.
So. You keep I will say I play Sims a lot, and I will start a family, a story, a house. I will, and then after about 2 hours, I'm like, okay, time to start a new one.
Yeah, all the time.
And there's and like 100 files, and it doesn't bother me though. Like other people, are like, but you spend all that time and all that work on it, and now you've just deleted it. I want to do that. I'm happy with that.
I feel that way. I think it is an ADHD trait, but I know a lot of ADHDers that are like, oh, so you like side quests. I'm like, don't get me wrong, I do like side quests. I love
my life is a side quest.
Side quests, all of my activities are like side quests. Do all the things that aren't like totally relevant. That's fun to me. But it's the restarting that I love. So
I'm the same.
That is so relevant to the ADHD experience, right? Because we always feel like, if I could just have another crack at this, if I could do it properly, magical thinking of next time it'll be different.
A little bit like that. Like there are times where I'm like, it is this, like, I'm trying to optimize. So I'm like, oh, I wish I would have done it this way. So I'll just start over.
Yes.
But there's also this like desire to see what else happens instead, right? So you know, especially
spontaneity,
and there's a lot of like video games these days have so many different options, and like I want to see them all. So I want to see what it's like, you know. I play some game, like I'm playing Fallout right now because I've played it a billion times over the past 10 years, but because the show came out, which by the way, one of my favorite shows ever, on Amazon. I'm not plugging it for any other reason than I want.
This episode is actually sponsored.
Sponsored by Amazon, you know?
Amazon.
The smile logo. I've started playing it again, and there's so many different ways to go. There's so many different ways to create your character with different stats. And there's all these different beginning quests that you can do that lead you down different paths. And
it's choose your own.
Yeah, you can like customize it. And I just like to keep customizing stuff. Like I'm totally fine with it. Like, right. It's not just about like, I wish I could. It's just like, I'm going to do it again because that was fun. I don't know if it's fun. Just like guarantee, you know, I think it has to do with too, why we like certain songs. And then we just like, oh, I love this song because I know how it makes me feel. It's not a surprise. I know I'm going to put the song on and I'm going to get that feeling. And so when I'm restarting a game, I'm like, I know how I'm going to feel when I play it. It's going to feel good. And that's what I'm going to do.
And I'm going to keep doing it. Yeah. It's like a dopamine hit. It's like, I'm going to keep doing it. And it's healthy. It's not like cocaine. Like,
I mean, it can be.
It's video games.
Video games can be like cocaine. It's like they visual. Can be sometimes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's visual. It's visual cocaine. It's visual stim. Okay. So I want to talk about being an ADHD coach. What does that mean? Because when I hear the word life coach, I'm like, that's something they talk about on Real Housewives. And it's someone who, like, I don't know, gets them a calendar and makes them do like meditation with a glass of champagne. And then when I hear ADHD coach, I'm like, how does that work? Mm-hmm. Can you be ADHD in an ADHD coach? Does it work? What is it? Tell me about it. Tell me about this ADHD Institute, this academy. I'm fascinated. I want to know everything.
ADHD coaches, they're already doing so much of their own research. They have heaps of lived experience, and learning about ADHD is an ongoing process. But mm-hmm. what I learned through the training of becoming an ADHD coach is that, wow, nobody actually listens in real life. So I think that what people think an ADHD coach is you're going to come to me with your problems and say, you know, I can't manage my calendar, or I just can't get started, or why do I keep doing these assignments the night before? And I'm going to say, these are the strategies, go off and do it, and this is going to fix you. Actually, that's not what we do at all. We ask questions and we position you as the expert, and we let you be the creative person in the room. And then it's more of a collaborative conversation about finding out, what are your strengths? What do you want in your life? What are your values and needs? And then we look at that through an ADHD lens and help. We're more of a thought partner. And so they're and having conversations with a purpose to help you, you know, create the life that you want.
And that works for you, rather than being like didactic and telling you what's wrong, like a personal trainer being like, you're eating too much, not going to the gym enough, that's why you feel bloated. It's more, okay, I like that. So like a thought partner. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Mm. But Ron, what do you have to add?
Yeah, man, I feel like I've explained this in so many different ways, and I've been sitting here trying to decide which way to do it. But to add to kind of what you're saying, I think what's great too about us having ADHD is because, you know, it is life coaching with an ADHD lens, but that lens also has to do with a lot of our intuition as ADHDers, which I do believe ADHD coaches make fantastic. ADHDers make fantastic ADHD coaches. Not that you need to. But
no, but it kind of makes sense.
There is something about like me getting where you're coming from, and also intuitively knowing like, hey, this might be something that you need in the moment. I think to kind of add to what like Liz is saying, you know, we have this jumbled mess in our brain and we're typically so reactive to like things that are happening. It's like this designed moment to just kind of stop. And I compare it to when I was younger and played video games. I'm going to use a video game analogy here. We had corded video game controllers, and I would stuff it in this little bin that I had underneath the TV. And every time when I had to like clean up, right? Because my mom didn't like when I left it out. So I would just keep shoving it in. And then eventually I would like be pulling out the remote to play, and there would be this huge bundle of cords, and I was like, just get it out enough. Until it got to the point where it was like, I couldn't anymore. And I would have to sit there and untangle it. And that sucks to do. And so it would be great when I had a friend over and we would do it together, or someone would sit down with me and do it with me. And that's kind of what we're doing, is I'm sitting with you and we're kind of untangling the cords and seeing what it is.
Like your body doubling with me.
Yeah. You're like a thought body doubling, right? Like it's a thought partner kind of thing. Like we're thinking alongside of. And I think the thing to kind of reiterate why it's important to not just tell you what to do is, one, if there was an answer for everyone and a one size fits all, we wouldn't need coaches.
You wouldn't exist.
A book and people are like, oh, here's the instruction manual to your brain.
Yes.
Like that's what it is. But like, even as ADHDers, what works for me doesn't work for you, doesn't work for Liz. And, you know, we may have some insight, which I think is what makes us different than other life coaches, is, you know, ADHDers sometimes need a jumping off point because we have like this associative thinking. So it's really important to just be like, okay, you're struggling to come up with something. I don't know, dude, this is what works for me sometimes. Is there anything you can think of that can help you with this? And so we have like this perspective of like, I get how my brain works. I can imagine how your brain's working right now. And then you're like, oh, well, actually, I've done this before. Or I guess I could try this. And then you're not relying on the coach. The idea is to empower you. So it's like, okay, I'm training my brain to look at things differently, right? I like to think of an ADHD's brain as a computer that does, you know, a lot of the same things that other computers do, but just like it has different buttons to turn it on. There's different programs you have to run to get things to work. And like, yeah, like I've had so many times where someone realized like, oh, I've got to like go and take a walk before I do this, or I need to like play this song is going to really help me. Or I had somebody once tell me like, I just need to stare at a wall for 5 minutes and that calms me down. And I'm like,
there you go.
Yes, that's awesome.
Whatever works.
I was never going to tell you to do that. But right, like, but you figured out what works for you. And like sometimes petting my dog or doing this. And so like, you know, there's every single person that I've worked with has had a different answer. And that's actually ended up working for them. So it's like what we're doing is helping you get there. Unpacking.
So it's almost assumed that like you actually do have the answers. You just need someone else there. And you'll get to it eventually, kind of like it's not us telling you what we think, it's you will get there. It's very similar to psychoanalysis, where kind of you are the one talking and they kind of interject from time to time and they kind of say something and then you go, actually, this is the thing that I could do. And then they might say, yeah, that's a good idea, or no, that's not a good idea. So it's like, it's, you already have the answers within, which sounds corny, but it's kind of true, but it's true. Like that person who said, I have to stare at a wall. You won't go into town on that.
There's
like you
no
said,
way they, I would know that would work for no, them. Right. No, yeah. But yeah. Like,
and they know.
And you really too, I think as ADHDers, we go through life and we do things differently. On like a visual of that, you know, if somebody had to get from point A to point B, they'd draw a straight line and we'd have a bunch of different pit stops.
Yes.
We need to be allowed. We need to be allowed to do those side quests, right? And someone sees us doing them and we don't succeed, they're like, oh, it's because you're doing it wrong. You have to do it this way. And so our whole lives, we are never given this like validation that our instinct is correct. So when we get to this point where it's like, okay, I have to do this thing and I don't know where to start. And so there ends up being this frozen adult that's like, I need someone to tell me this is okay. So sometimes too, as a coach, we're helping them empower themselves by like validating what their decisions are. And really that's what it is. Nobody knows what to do. I like have these conversations with people all the time. There's no right answer. There's just like the best that you know. And so to be able to have a little bit of conviction going like, you know what, I think this is the best choice for what I know is where we want to try to get people, because it's that decision making and that action that really helps you grow and learn. And I mean, we can be cheesy, but it's like,
no, but it's true. Yeah, it's true. It is true.
Failure is just another thing you're learning on what not to do the next time. And if we're sitting here trying to really make sure we're perfect the first time, we're never going to find out.
Yeah. I think, you know, the thing that we're taught as coaches is that the client is the expert. And we have expertise, but our expertise is actually in helping you uncover what you already know to be true about you. And I will say that if you are a person with ADHD and you are looking for this kind of support, anyone who tells you that they have the definitive answer and that they are an expert that can give you the protocol that's going to work,
cure.
Run, watch, like hold on to your money, do something else.
It's true. It's true. It's like even therapists who are like, I will cure your depression. Will you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you sure?
If you can, you should be a billionaire. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then no one would have depression if it was, you know, okay. What sort of people come to you? Are they young adults, older? Are they coming to you when they're freshly diagnosed and they're like, what am I doing? Are they struggling at work, or is it a variety of people that you sort of deal with?
Ron, do you want to take this first?
Sure. I mean, the answer is variety. Everything that you just said, where you're like, oh, is it this, this, and this? I've talked to all of those people, every single one. And I come up with like 30 other categories of it, right? Wow. Because there's, especially now too, there's such this understanding of what ADHD is also, and it sucks that it's new information, but that you don't grow out of your ADHD. Spoiler alert for anybody out there that thinks you do.
Oops.
And also how just much information is coming down the pipeline on it, right? Understanding that certain things that we thought were anxiety doesn't mean that there isn't just anxiety, right? But like there are some people that are finding they're misdiagnosed and they actually have ADHD, like undiagnosed ADHD as an adult. And so when we're able to treat it, it's really life-changing, you know? Like my wife is an actor, and she, even with someone like me having ADHD, had no idea she had it because we had two totally different types of ADHD until I started learning about other types of ADHD. And I was like, no, you too. And like how many times parents are, you know, getting their kids diagnosed and then going like, it's genetic, huh? And all the things that they're telling them, like, oh, your kid does this, this, and this. And the parents going, I do that too.
Yes, that was literally my dad when I was younger. My mom would always say to my dad, because my mom's not ADHD, she'd be like, you know, I think Lucy's ADHD, you know, she does this. And my dad would always say, Lucy, don't worry about it. I used to do this all the time when I was a kid.
That's so common.
Exactly like you. And then I'm like, like me. Or like my mum and dad are teachers, and so they'll have parents and they'll say, you know, we're shocked that our daughter was diagnosed with ADHD and that, you know, she's autistic. How can that be? And then my mum will like meet the parents and she'll be like, your husband is so clearly like ADHD and autistic. It's right there.
I think the variety is really big. I think with coaching, you know, there's so many different coaches that have niches. I got into coaching wanting to coach kids, and I've found it for myself. I've had difficulty just because of my own issues with how I was raised with ADHD. I have a hard time not telling the parents things. So like parents are a more difficult thing for me. Now I've found some great parents that are willing to kind of like listen to things that I have to say. And I love still coaching kids, but my new favorite,
it's hard.
I love coaching adults. I love coaching people in their mid to late 20s, early 30s. You know, I was someone who switched careers a few times, and I love the dreamers. A lot of ADHDers are dreamers. My favorite people is to like help empower them to make these choices that they've maybe been ashamed of, and help them find ways to like feel good about taking, you know, those steps to trying unique things that other people are kind of telling them, no, you need to get like a solid job, when the person's like, no, I don't want to. Obviously, I'm not sitting there telling people to quit their jobs and go like run away to the circus. But like, really, what it is, and we're not telling them, but it's empowering them when that's what they want to do. Maybe not run the circus, but like, and so I love dreamers. That's my favorite person to coach. But yeah, I get them all. Liz,
nice.
Same. I
get them all.
Yeah, Ron and I were on another podcast once, and I somehow said that I was the town bike of ADHD coaching. But everyone's had a ride. Yeah, but I want everyone. Like, as in, I, you know, if I could take on everyone,
serial killers, addicts,
all of you, everyone. Yeah. It's actually really important to me. To not burn out in coaching, to have a mix of clients. And I just couldn't say that I have, that I coach
one kids, type.
I coach parents, I coach adults, I coach people in their 60s.
Oh, my God.
Everything. Wow. I'm anyone who wants to be there and is excited to learn more about themselves,
you're there.
I love them. Yeah. So when I am taking on clients, that's my only real decision-making factor.
So it's everyone's welcome. Yeah. I want to know more about the retreats that you do for women with ADHD, because again, when I hear the word retreat, I'm like, oh, it's like a silent retreat. Like, people always want silent retreats. I'm like, I'm not that flavor of ADHD. I don't meditate. So what is an ADHD retreat for women?
Well, Obviously, it's not going to be silent.
No,
that would be hard. That would be really hard. Yeah. So I'm running these retreats with another ADHD training with us at the same time, an Aussie ADHD coach called Sarah Hoff. Nice. And she is a lot more, I'm going to say, hippy-dippy than me, right? She is a meditation teacher. She's learning to be a sound healer. She's an incredible woman. And what I have learned from my own experience and from working with a lot of high-achieving women, who are from the outside crushing it in every domain in their lives, is that if they have ADHD, they don't know how to rest, right? And there's this idea that I won't be able to rest until I'm finding that a lot of women with ADHD over-prioritize productivity as a moral virtue. Like, I'll be a good person if I'm productive. I'll be a good person if I'm organized. If I look like I've got my shit together and I don't get found out, then that's when I'll get to feel good about myself. And I'm just looking at these incredible women and I'm like, oh, who gives a fuck if you're organized? Like, it's just like, look at all these other incredible traits that you have that you're not celebrating. So the idea of the women's recharge retreats that we're running, the idea of them is, first of all, to create a safe space of women who are having a similar experience, and also to give women the opportunity to feel, to experience what rest actually feels like. And we know about people with ADHD that when we're really stressed, when we're burnt out, we actually can't access the problem-solving parts of our brain.
No.
We actually need that before, but we put the cart before the horse. We think that I'll be able to rest when my to-do list is empty.
Yes.
And it works the other way. So, and we want to be able to show people that rest might not feel good, actually. It might be really uncomfortable. And that's okay. Boring. You can tolerate. It might be boring.
Or you
might have heaps of anxiety. Like, when you stop moving and stop doing, you might have anxiety. If you're a mother, you're probably hardwired by this point to believe that you have to spend all your time and bandwidth being selfless and doing things for others.
Yes.
So that's what we hope to achieve with our retreats. Yeah.
I really like that. So it's about when you were saying, you know, I will feel this way when I am that. It's it's such an ADHD thing of like you. It's always unfinished business.
Yeah.
It's like we're ghosts and we've come back and like we're not leaving until we've, you know, the unfinished business. And that unfinished business could be as simple as like the washing that could easily be done and then to like this mountain of work. That is such a thing.
I love the way that you articulate that, Lucy. It's, the unfinished business. And, you know, the thing is there's no final resting place like until you're dead, right? Like, well, you might believe that isn't a final resting place.
Yeah,
but, like there's no point where you're going to get there. Like there's nowhere to get. It's you've got to enjoy the process a little bit. This is what it is.
Yeah, you won't be happy until you're dead, which we don't like. It's not. Then if.
And we are workshopping here how to expedite that for you.
Serial killers and all. The next question I have is, so I usually interview a lot of ADHDs who are Aussie and whatnot. Is ADHD coaching popular in Australia or is it more popular in the States? Because a lot of the ADHD coaches I follow, it's kind of mixed. So I don't know how to gauge. I probably should have looked it up. But is it, I feel like it's quite maybe new in Australia. Like it's, I don't know. And it was kind of more of a big thing in the States.
Well, I'll speak to Australia briefly and that Ron can speak to the US. Actually in Australia, we are We are very lucky that ADHD coaching is, I want to say, has been legitimized, but it has, if you have gone through certain training pathways and you're you've done a proper course and proper training, in the recently released new guidelines, Australian guidelines on ADHD.
Yes.
ADHD coaching is one of the recommended therapies.
Fantastic.
And psychiatrists refer to ADHD coaches. If you're in Australia and you are considering an ADHD coach, there's a great directory of certified ADHD coaches, and that would be the first place I look. So something to know about ADHD coaching is it's an unregulated industry. It's kind of the Wild West. Okay. Anyone can call themselves an ADHD coach. So if you've had some life experience and you've read some books, you could call yourself an ADHD coach, right? So if you go to this directory, it's called ADHD Coaches Australasia. I'll send you the link, Lucy.
Yes, please. Yes,
all
please.
Of the ADHD coaches on there are qualified and properly trained.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah. As far as the states, we suck here. And really, like, I mean, healthcare and mental health in the United States are really, unfortunately, not prioritized. And I always find it amazing when I hear, you know, Liz say how she gets referrals all the time. And I don't know if it was you, Liz, or someone else in Australia that said, oh yeah, the process is you get diagnosed with ADHD and they give you a prescription for medication. They hook you up with a therapist and then they set you up with an ADHD coach. Like that's
it's like process. A package.
Yeah.
A lot of psychiatrists are doing that now. Yeah.
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 In the States, there are very few. In fact, there are so many psychiatrists and therapists that are not specialized in ADHD. And doctors, a lot of times, are the ones prescribing medication. And they're still operating on the, you know, late 1990s, literature around what ADHD is. And so it's really hard to get people on board with that. A lot of people don't know what an ADHD coach is. I know I didn't until like 3.5 years ago. And then 6 months later, I was like, how do I do this? And, you know, it's something that is getting bigger. I think the need is there. Something we talk about all the time is like, there's always a need for coaches. Even if you're out there listening, like, I know the way that I operate, especially within my cohort, is like I want to help any other coach around. I mean, so I don't do a retreat for ADHDers. I do a retreat for coaches. I really want to have collaboration amongst ADHD coaches because I think so, just because of the nature of what we have to do, you know, American insurance doesn't cover ADHD coaching. So we're out here being solopreneurs, and there's a lot of competition involved in that. You're kind of working by yourself, trying to figure out your own business and your marketing. And it's, you know, it's hard to feel authentic when you're doing that. So, I'm always of the mindset of bringing us together, bringing other ADHD professionals together and trying to get us to run the, you know, instead of running a race, like being a relay team, like it's like, hey, we're the same team here. Let's have
we're in this together.
Yeah. And I mean, without the we're in this together thing, like, I was gonna say it and then you said it for me. But like, yeah, it's, you know, we're trying to, like, most people that have become ADHD coaches, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but it wasn't like we got into this because we're like, oh, I'm going to be great at this and make a ton of money. Like, there's not a lot of money in it. And we all did it because we're like, holy shit, I want to be a part of this community. And so I'm of the mindset of like, how do we all come together and keep moving forward? Because things are behind. It feels like we're still like 15, 20 years behind where we should be, at least. And, you know, it's just a guess, but There's so many people that don't know as much as we talk about it. And I feel like it's all I talk about with people. There's always a time where I run into somebody and they still have the same idea of what ADHD was 30 years ago. And they're just like, oh, well, you're an adult. How can you have it? You know, you're a woman. How can you have it? Or like, why do you need medication? You're not going to school anymore, or like any of that. And so it's behind. Australia is really, since I've seen it, it feels like everybody I went to class with was either American or Australian. I know like four.
We're
five
just better. Years. No. Yeah. I mean, Australia has a lot of work to do. I mean, there's sure. issues, but I feel like people are pretty, now it's like really like exciting, like ADHD, like it's this fun kind of thing. But yeah, no, it is. Yeah, I would say we're a bit more ahead, but you still get those stupid comments. I don't know about you, Liz, but my parents get stupid comments all the time about me being medicated, like even from like educated people, like, oh, have you tried telling her to go for a walk? And it's like, what are you talking about? Like,
wait, that's all I have to do is go for a walk and that'll cure my ADHD. And, amazing. Yeah.
Let me get my shoes on. Yeah. I think that probably the biggest issue we have in Australia is access, right? Because I think that having ADHD is for rich people, right? Like it's
so expensive.
It's so expensive.
It's so expensive.
It's so hard to access any, you know, from the whole thing, you know, from the initial diagnosis to medication.
The whole thing. It's
getting someone like me is not something that most people have in their budget, right? Not because I'm crazy expensive, but we don't, people don't have, it's not covered by Medicare or anything. So I think that there's, and having said that, there are lots of great free and low cost groups. So if you can't access an ADHD coach, there are wonderful supports out there.
Yeah. There's a lot of alternatives that make it accessible. Which is beneficial. The next thing I was going to ask is, you've really sold being an ADHD coach. I'm like, I would love to be an ADHD coach, but I still ask myself, even though it would be really good to be an ADHD coach and be ADHD because of the insight, I don't know if I would be very organized and be able to manage it. So how do you guys do it? How many clients do you have? How do you manage, you know, your time? Because it's not like it's not like you have a clinic and there's a receptionist and they help you. So how do you do it? Because it must be it's hard work. So I can't imagine doing that and also being ADHD and then dealing with people who are ADHD. So whichever one of you wants to answer first, go for it. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, no, I love this because something that I really try to do is be vulnerable with what I struggle with. And I still struggle with ADHD, right? I know a lot of us with ADHD that are coaches are afraid to say things like, oh yeah, I suck at time management, or I'm still really unorganized. And because we're supposed to be the experts. In fact, like I know I'll still get this like imposter syndrome around it. Like, how am I supposed to help someone else when I myself am struggling? And the thing that we've learned, and a lot of times we work with clients on, in ADHDers, we tend to be all or nothing. And so we think of it as like, I'm either organized or disorganized. I'm either, you know, I either have it together or I don't. And I always try to go on like a scale of 1 to 10. And my goal is not to always be a 10 at everything. It's just like, wherever I am, how do I, you know, kick it up a notch? And so if I'm at like a 2 in organization, how do I get to a 3 and take my time to work with that? Both our mentor, Diane McLean, who is just a fantastic all around A+ human. She told me one time that she had a client scheduled, and it was after another client, and she got done with her one and she walked outside and there were 2 clients sitting in her office. And she's like, almost immediately she realized what she did and she had double booked. And at this time, I was thinking exactly what you were thinking. I was like, I'm so nervous. I can't keep a schedule. I'm supposed to have clients and like figure out when, you know, things are going to work out and make sure
when's what,
I email them on time and send them the things they need. And, you know, she told this story and she was like, you remember booking both of them and go, oh, that's where I fucked up. Oh, okay. Shit. So she,
I'm getting stressed. I'm getting the sweats. She, I'm like
ah. You know, to hear this person that we both hold in such high regard, that is like,
and who's your mentor? Yeah.
Like this expert, and to say like, so what? Right. But she did say how stressed she was. So it's like, it's normal to feel like, oh my God, I screwed up. Everybody hates me. But it is learning that vulnerable piece of like, she went to the one person and said, hey, I made a huge mistake. I'm so sorry. And she said that person was like, oh no, don't worry about it. And it was fine. But she also mentions, and this is a lot of time I talk about this with clients, is like, she also might have been mad. And that's okay too, right? Like it's this idea that like, we have to show up as we are. You know,
most people are decent. Like they might be mad, but they're not going to like cuss you out.
If you're coming to me as an ADHD client and I message you 5 minutes before our session, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lucy, I totally forgot I had this thing. Can we reschedule? You'd be like, yeah, totally. Cause I get it.
Cause I've done that. I might be like, oh, damn it.
Or you might be like, oh my God, I forgot we had a session too. Like it's.
And now I've got one in the bank.
It's like, you naughty you, you forgot.
Part of coaching, right, isn't to make everyone perfect. Part of coaching is to give yourself grace and be okay, right? Like in coaching, we always hear too, and it's really true, is like, there's nothing wrong with you. You don't need to be fixed. You just need to be able to kind of sit there and be okay. I accept that this is my situation. Like, meet yourself where you are, and then what is it that I want to do, and what are some ways I can get better at it, right? I'm so much better than I was when I started with being on time with stuff. But even like, you know, like you were messaging an Instagram and I wasn't getting back to you right away because it wasn't my normal one, but it's also my fault. I should have been like, oh, I remember. But
also I was like, I didn't pay attention to it because of the, I'm like, whatever. Like, and I'm not mad. You know, I didn't even realize now I'm mad. But there was
like, moments where I was like, oh no, I forgot. Oh, no. And I said to Liz, like, oh shit, I totally dropped the ball on this. And we're all going to do that. And people do it all the time. Even people without ADHD drop the ball. Like, the problem is we grew up with a story that someone told us that we're irresponsible or we're messy or we're unorganized or we don't take things unreliable, all this stuff. So whenever that inevitably happens in our lives, we go back to that story and you're like, this is the same old me.
They were right.
POS, you know, like, so that's what it's about.
And that's silly because you know what? The people that I know that are so late are all neurotypicals. All the people that are late and that are disorganized that I know, and they don't care. I care when I'm late. Right. Like if you're late, but you care, I'm not angry. But if you just say, oh yeah, you show up half an hour late and you're like, yeah, stuck in traffic. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Cause it was so hard for you to get there on time. Right. And it's like, whatever.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Totally. But they're not taking that as a reflection of themselves as a human. They're not,
they've never been told that it's a big
problem. Never been told, and they should have been.
Yeah. More shame for them, less for us.
More shame. I'm going to get a shirt and be like, shame them. Shame the neurotypicals, not me.
I'm putting that on threads. You know, I think you did a thread recently where you said typical neuros or something.
So I did that and I thought it was sometimes on threads. I'm like, this is a banger. This is so
good. It was a banger.
And then it's got like 2 likes and I'm like, cool, whatever.
me and my other account.
I love it. Like, this is so good.
I loved it.
She loved it twice.
That makes me so happy that you remember it because I loved that.
It was so good. I saw that and I was like, yes, I showed my boyfriend. I was like, look. And he's like, I don't get it. I'm like, typical neuro.
No,
you don't get it.
God, now you've inspired me. I'm going to make that shirt now. All I needed was one other person. I need one other person.
Make merch. So. Make it merch. Yeah, I will purchase it.
It's not going to be a profitable endeavor, but it'll be fun.
I don't care.
It's fun. Yeah. So, Liz, what about you?
Yeah.
Running late with clients, appointments. And
look, I guess, of course I've had screw-ups, right? But I'm not saying it doesn't feel like shit when you screw up, but I know that it's actually a gift to my clients when I can fuck up and model what it looks like to apologize and recover from a mistake. Like, it's fine. Okay. Like, you know, think about if you are in any other business and someone stuffs up, like they bring you the wrong food or they forget about your order, you only get the shits if they get defensive and if they're rude to you. But if they're like, oh, I screwed up, I'm really sorry. I'm going to sort that out for you. Yeah. Like, what, you know, you actually kind of like them more because they've handled their mistakes so well.
Yeah.
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 It makes you think better of them.
Yes.
But, you know, I guess I've put, because I have, you know, two kids as well, I have a very busy life outside of my, not that, you know, that's who. You have to have children to be busy, but,
it's busy.
There's a lot going on, right? And so I do have to have a lot of workarounds in place. And thankfully there's like great software and, you know, I have an assistant and
great.
Also, I do work in an office space rather than working from home because I needed those boundaries.
Yes.
And I think that the biggest challenge for me is I get excited and I want to do everything and I say yes to things and to ideas and, you know, I want to do it all. And so I just have to really watch myself to not burn out. So that's the biggest challenge for me. But I definitely don't think that having ADHD gets in the way of being a great ADHD coach or being great at anything, really. You just have to know yourself and develop workarounds. If anything, having ADHD will make you a better ADHD coach.
It makes sense. And, you know, now that I think of it, being late with the client and whatnot, I guess it would actually be kind of reassuring because then if you as the client forget to show up to your appointment, you're like, they also forgot that I came in last time. So actually okay. And I'll be allowed to stuff up. The only time I'd be worried if someone stuffed up, if it's like, you know, my dentist is doing a root canal and they go, shit. And it's like,
this is way more
important. Or they're doing brain surgery and they're like, shit, we don't know what's going on here. Whoops. That's why I'm like, okay, you really need to be.
Attention to detail is kind of important in those professions.
You know?
But the other thing I would say is that, you know, people, when I tell a lot of people that I'm an ADHD coach, they'll be like, oh, my God, that must be such a logistical nightmare. Like, do people show up for their sessions and do you get paid and everything? I have to say that almost always my clients are on time. They always show up. I think I've had like two no-shows ever. They pay, like everyone pays. Like I just think that it's sort of this stigma that hasn't really held true in my work. I mean, as long as, you know, people need reminders and everything. If I make an appointment and I don't get sent a reminder, I'm like, I just expect that to happen, right? Like we're trained to expect that. I think that's everyone, but I haven't found it a problem at all. Yeah.
I do also want to, I wanted to add a little bit too, to the, like, how it feels when your ADHD coach is screwing up. I was telling, one of my groups, you know, we do wins and then people will talk about things that they're struggling with and they'll get a little bit of coaching, but it's really nice, like validating space. And at the end of it, one time I said, so there is something that like I want to talk about because I'm struggling with something. And everybody was like, okay, like, let's hear it. And I was just like, I'm feeling a little bit shit right now because I was doing this coach's event. And I'm not getting as many people as I wanted. And I'm really being hard on myself. And it's something that I'm really trying to get better at and I'm struggling with it. And everyone was just like, oh my God, like you're a human. And I'm like, yeah, dude, like, do you want me to show you the mess in my room? But it was just that. I had a message from somebody after we had like long discussions about it. Mm. It's like, I just want to thank you because like, yeah, you're totally like vulnerable and authentic and stuff, but we're always talking about our issues. But you sharing that made me go like, oh yeah, like this expert that I hold in this regard that I'm like, oh, he's going to help me with everything. Like, he's struggling with a lot, which makes me feel like, okay, then what I'm struggling with isn't like, I don't have to get to perfect, right? Like, it's when we're online and we see people joking about, you know, I all the time online talk about the shit that I'm dealing with, or like, I can't do this, or I'm really struggling with this. And I make fun of a lot of the things because it's how I
cope.
But
yeah, of course.
To hear that, like I was saying in the beginning, to hear that, like, I struggle to make doctor's appointments or brush my teeth twice a day makes you feel like, okay, I don't feel alone. And I don't feel like I'm the only one and that I'm a loser and I can't do this.
Strange.
We're all struggling, right? Like, I've grown a shit ton in the past couple of years. I look back at where I was and I'm like, wow, I'm so proud of the things that I've done and accomplished, and still really struggle with a lot of stuff. And that's to say, like, I'm never going to be a 10 at all those things. But it's nice to know that, like, okay.
No one's an all-rounder. That's a myth. No one's an all-rounder. Yes, like, it's just not true. Sure. Like, it's made up.
Show up as you are, because we're all flawed. And I know it doesn't feel that way because everybody hides it, but like, I think it's important to be authentic as a coach too. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think it makes sense. Even like I hear from people, they'll say, you know, I have a therapist and, it really helped me when they actually opened up about themselves. And traditionally you would think that's really inappropriate. And like, as a therapist, it should be very like, you know, distance and clinical. And they're like, but it actually really made me feel a lot better. And it wasn't just this kind of clinical person sitting in front of me and making me like kind of tell my story and how crap I feel.
Yeah, I feel like
it's actually
very refreshing for
them to just say one thing. Obviously the therapist isn't going to be like, and you know, my childhood and I just hate my life.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, but it was just, it made them feel just a little bit more seen.
Yeah.
You feel less like a patient, right? That is trying to be cured and fixed. You go like, and so often too, like, we're not, you know, people come to us for ADHD coaching. And even though there's a variety of people, I would say the majority come and they want things to be fixed, right? Like, they may not directly say it, but it's ultimately, they're like, I don't want to, you know, you have a kid, it's like, I want to pay attention in school. I need to pay attention in school more, or I need to stop forgetting this, or I need to, and it's hard, but like, I tell them, I was like, look, there's, I'm not going to say anything's impossible, but like, we're going to get better at it. It's just harder for you to do those things, right? And we can find some workarounds to make some of it a little easier, but like, ultimately you have to find ways to be okay with what your faults are and find ways to take your strengths and help them be like ways that you can show up with your strengths. Cause then it's, and be vulnerable, right? Like, I work with somebody and I'll say, hey, just so you know, I can do this, not super well or quick, but like, so if you need me to do it, I got you, because I'm all about teams, right? But like, I'm better utilized doing this. And it's like learning what you're good at, knowing like, ain't my strong suit, is a good thing. It doesn't mean to just be like, oh, I can't do that. But it doesn't mean
it's not my area.
Yeah,
it's not my area of expertise. Like, I've learned now, like at work, if someone says, can you do this thing? And I know I can't, I'm like, I'm not the best, but I will be there while you do it, and I will watch you, and I will say, maybe try that. I will cheer you on. I can't format that Excel sheet, but I love that you are trying. I love that for you, and I am there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to do it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But you,
exactly.
You, yeah. I believe in you. Yeah. I'm flipping the table around, and you can do it. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, briefly, and it's not necessarily related to ADHD coaching, but medication, because you were saying how you had a very sort of unhealthy relationship with meds, because it was used as a shaming tactic. And I think there's a real big difference between how we view medication here in Australia, specifically ADHD medication, in the States. Because I feel like in the States, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's like stigma around meds because there's this whole like over-medication thing. Big pharma, people are like abusing their meds and like we're just giving people ADHD meds. But like it could just be a stereotype. Like I don't think that's the reason why people shouldn't take medication. Like we have people who abuse drugs here in Australia, and like that doesn't mean that like ADHD medication shouldn't be accessible. So I was wondering if you could talk a bit more about, and then Liz, sort of the Australian perspective, the Sydney perspective, because we're both Aussie, but you're in Sydney.
I would say just like, you know, we typically don't go into medication too much. I'll say anybody out there that's like, should I take medication or not? Like, that's a conversation to have with you, your family, your doctor, right? I do encourage parents to have conversations with their kids about it, because especially when I was diagnosed, there was no option for me. It was like, you're doing this because we don't like how you're acting, and this is going to fix the way you're acting. We now come at it from a point of like, is this what the kid wants? And I know that might sound weird, but I think that's important, right? Like,
no, it is. It's
and
really important.
Everybody has reasons for it, but I do hear way too often the reasons that people don't take medication is because, you know, of stigmas or things like, I don't want to put my kid on meth, which I will lose my shit over, because it's not.
It's not different. Where did that?
It's. I mean,
and
it
meth
is
would be like, easier to get. Like easier and cheaper. Honestly, it would be easier.
Yeah,
it's so true.
The idea though is it's an accommodation that helps people, right? And like, there's this thing. I don't know if it's in Australia too as much, but this ableism around like you don't need help, or I'm not going to use things as a crutch. And I'm like, dude, do you know what crutches are for? Crutches are for you when you are struggling with something. Like you break your leg, you need a crutch.
You use crutches
to help you to do stuff. It's not like people.
You're cheating.
Yeah. Like there's this idea that you're getting an unfair advantage. And it's like, no, like when people need help, we want to help them. And
we want to help them. Yeah.
Sure. Ultimately,
like glasses. Glasses are not a crutch. They just help me. I'm not taking the easy way. They help me see. I should just not wear them and like
walk around blind. Yeah.
Right. But like
I mean, it's like say someone in a wheelchair, so you just want to get out of walking. You just really want to get out of giving it a go.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? It's insane. It's insane.
It's something that is really tough. Because I understand there's a lot of different reasons to not, but we are dealing with a medication shortage, and hopefully things change, but there is this pushback. I mean, you get some parents that, you know, band together and start telling you that certain things are happening and stuff gets done in this country. That's the only way to is really angry white parents, usually, is what gets you know, really angry Karens gets things done in America, which really sucks. But it really is a problem because it's not to say that you need to take medication, but the gold standard is medication and support. You know, if you just get support, sure, things will be a little bit better. But no,
it's really a combination.
Rare, yeah. And, you know, there's people that can't take meds for like actual reasons, and that's fine too. But like actual medical reasons. But like, same as like when I was diagnosed and I was just given meds, it's like that doesn't just work either. You need some kind of system and support and help. The meds just kind of help level the playing field a little bit, but there's side effects to meds too, right? Like,
of course.
It's unfortunate.
There's side effects to everything, you know, because people say, but what about the side effects? Like, look at any meds you take, something as simple as a Panadol, a really, like, not even just pharmacy painkiller. Open up the pamphlet, it has side effects. And the beautiful thing about ADHD medication is if you have the side effects and it's unpleasant, you can just stop taking it.
Yeah, they go away.
There's
so many different ways to go about it. And there's it's obviously a personal decision. It's
of course.
I could get off my high horse a little bit because I will I've had conversations with people where I'm just like, we need to understand that there are people that need medication out there. And every time you're posting that, whatever it is you're doing, or even making jokes about ADHD meds and what they're doing to kids, or
it's actually really harmful. Zombies,
it's so terrible. And
yeah,
it's gross. I'm all for jokes, but like, yeah, the fact that
yeah,
so
but that's
many,
not funny. It's
so many of my clients can't get medication that they need it, so that sucks. Liz.
I think that there is definitely stigma about ADHD medication in Australia as well. And I do think that some of that has sort of trickled down to us from the US, where, you know, it has never happened in Australia where Adderall was being handed out in college campuses, for example.
No.
I know that that's sort of a relic of the past, Ron, but that was that was happening, right? That for people would be like, I've got to pull an all-nighter.
It's so funny, though, how many of these people that were like, I've talked to so many people that did that and are now diagnosed with ADHD. It was just that, like, their parents didn't want to medicate them or whatever it was to. But yes, it was like ways to just like do that. And so that's where this idea of speed and math and like all that came from.
Or that you can, you know, it's somehow an unfair advantage that if you have a stimulant, it's going to incredibly boost your academic performance, which is just
and your intelligence.
Not true. It's just not true.
We're already smart. We don't need meds to make us smart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, look, I do. If people ask me about medication, I do share my opinion, which is based on the evidence. I think that some of the things I really like people to know is that there's a good chance that you might not find the right fit the first time you try it. As Bill Dodson says, amazing Bill Dodson says, if you don't get the wow impact, it's either not the right molecule or it's not the right dosage, right? And there are going to be side effects, but
of course,
keep trying. And I know that it's hard to keep trying and keep tweaking because, you know, it was so fucking hard to get that psychiatrist appointment in the first place. But if, for example, you know, I do often have clients, people reach out to me and say, I want to try everything before I go down the medication path. And I am quite honest with those people that I'll say that medication doesn't have to be a last resort, right? It's not this terrible fate. And I think that thinking also it's not one or the other. If you want to, if you can,
do both.
Do everything. Do everything you can.
You can do speed and, you know, methamphetamine.
Exactly.
You know, you
get
can,
it all going.
You know.
Don't smoke, weed, though.
Okay. Yes.
Exactly.
No, but it's true. Yeah. People view it as like, my ADHD has to be shocking for me to take. It's like, not at all. No. Like, not at all. And it does not have to get there.
Absolutely. And you know what was the biggest benefit that I found in my life when I started taking ADHD meds is that I stopped losing my shit at my kids so much. I was, and I really wanted to stay calm all the time, but I was just finding that I'd get so pent up, I would just explode. And I think that's a host of factors, including that I was trying so hard just to function at a certain level. So I was up here all the time, but even just being able to regulate my emotions better. And like, that's worth it, whether I become a doctor or not, right? It's not just about academic performance. It's about how you want
to about life.
Yeah. I also stopped
having
car
life performance.
Accidents. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's something we might need to unpack in another episode.
Yeah, exactly. So
oh my God. Yeah.
It's look, and it's not for everyone, but worth exploring.
It's for everyone to try. Like, I have no issue with people saying, I don't take medication. I've tried it. It didn't work out for me. That's fine. Yeah. But I get a bit weirded out when people are like, I have never tried it. My ADHD's not that bad. Like, it's almost like saying, like, I'm not as bad as you. Mm-hmm. I don't need it. And it's like, but have you tried it? No. Do you know what it can do? No. I just saw that it's like, yeah, you saw a TikTok. Like, you like should maybe read up about it or hear from me telling you that it's like actually really life changing. And if you don't like it, you can stop it. You're not chained to your meds. They don't like doctors will say to you, I remember when I first went on medication, my parents and the doctor said, if you do not like it, you don't have to take it. You can stop it at any time. And I wanted to take meds. My parents didn't really want me to. And they kept saying, Lucy, if you do not like it, you can stop. And I was like, I love this. This is great. I'm not coming off it. But it was really like, you don't have to take it. You literally don't have to. They weren't going to force me. Even if I didn't have side effects, you don't have to take it. If you don't want to.
When my wife,
you just try it and stop.
When my wife first got diagnosed and she took meds, she like, I think it was like, 30, 40 minutes after she first took it, I was sitting there, she walked in the room and she was crying. And she was just like, it's so quiet. And I just went and hugged her and she's like, is this how everyone else feels? And like, you know, her biggest thing was as an actor, she was dealing with so much RSD around. I mean, you know, you don't hear why you didn't get a gig or like if an audition, how it went, you have no idea. So you're in your head and we're living in Los Angeles. So she's like sitting here wondering if it's how I looked or how I dress or do I need to lose weight or I need to do this or they didn't like me because of that. And so she was really struggling to do self-tapes. She was struggling to like even want to submit for auditions. And this really helped her. It doesn't go away, but now it's manageable.
No.
Now you like,
it's manageable.
Okay, I can deal with this. And then her career like took off. And so she's like always says that like my ADHD diagnosis like saved my career. So, you know, these are things that people don't realize. Just feeling normal when you're having a conversation with a lot of people, like it can help with social anxiety. It can help with, you know,
just not
all of it.
It's so good.
And so
it changes everything. Yeah. People roll their eyes, but it changes. Yeah.
Oh, dude,
it changes everything. It really does.
So glad you've had that experience, Lucy. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think anyone who's just kind of like on the fence or even parents who are on the fence with like ADHD medication, I think they should just do their like due diligence, talk to a doctor and then obviously give it a go. And if their child doesn't want to take it, that's another thing. Yeah. But I think it's like really worthwhile. And I used to be very reserved about telling people to be not telling people to take medication because I'm not a doctor, but like destigmatizing it. Because a lot of people say, well, you can't shame people who aren't taking it. People are allowed to make a decision. But that alone, like not saying it's actually life-changing and you should try it, kind of feeds into the stigma. So I think it's really good.
Usually it's a stigma. It's usually a stigma based off shit. It's usually stuff that, you know, the times you've heard.
It's just not real.
Somebody's heard a story about one person who knew a person who overdosed on ADHD meds. And it's like, okay, I'm not saying that that can't happen or those things
haven't
happened, but you're talking about such a select small few. And like the percentages show, like, especially when it comes to addiction too, there's a statistic that says like addicts that take ADHD meds are less likely to relapse on drugs because it helps control their impulsivity.
Yes.
Around.
So, like, yes.
Back.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree entirely. That's So guys, take meds. No, talk to your doctor and then take meds. Yeah. Before we wrap up, is there anything you want my listeners and anyone else to know about being a coach, being ADHD, any other words of wisdom? Because I feel like you've shared so much, but to wrap it all up, something. It doesn't have to be profound. It can be like, follow me on Instagram. But
Liz, you got something?
I guess... if I'm coming from, I guess I'll give you some coach advice. One of the great things that we learn as coaches is to have some curious objectivity about our own behavior. So if we can just suspend our shame about some of the patterns that we're seeing happen over and over again, if we can just sort of put that aside for a moment. Like, imagine we weren't ashamed of this and we can just zoom out a little bit and get curious about our behavior and our thought patterns and run experiments in your own life. There is so much, you know, people with ADHD tend to be really great problem solvers, really resourceful. And I always see it as success for my clients and myself. Not when they reach their potential or they kick some goal that they they thought would make them happy. It's when they feel that they are more resourceful and resilient in the face of challenges. So I think that's something we can all strive for. I hope that wasn't too wordy.
No, that was perfect.
Too wordy.
That
was really good. Never us ADHDers.
Well, I don't think it's too wordy, but fine. Everyone else might think it's, you know, typical and neuros, they're boring.
Typical neuros.
Yeah.
At least twice a day, Ron.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is how we feel that we're supposed to earn celebration or earn praise. And the reality is we are good at certain things that other people are not. And you know, and this, whether you have ADHD or you don't, but if something is easy for you, we rarely are proud of ourselves for it because it was easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And those types of things get forgotten so easily. Mm. So often I sit with someone and I'm like, you know, we pick out their strengths and they might be someone that's just, you know, really kind and really great at being there for their friends. And when I ask them about that, they're like, oh, yeah, I did that today. Like, sure. But it was like, it's second nature. They're just like, oh, it's my favorite. Like, why would
it's my thing.
But it's like, do you know how valuable that is? Do you know how important that is? Like, and they're like, well, it wasn't hard, so it's nothing to be proud of. And then it's like, okay, but then you do something hard and it's easy for someone else. And you're not proud of yourself for that either because, well, it's easy for everybody else and no one is giving me any praise. So why should I do it myself? And that's where we get the, like, the feel good chemicals and stuff in our brain. Like, they're all in there. I heard a comedian say once that, like, our brain is a giant dick. It has all the, like, really feel good stuff and it doesn't give it to us. It's all in there, right? It's in there. It just isn't giving it to us. And so we have to, anytime you hear somebody say, like, hack your brain, I hate it. But, like, if there is something.
Yeah. Like, I want
to
hack
but
your
if
head
there
off,
is
like,
something
shut
to
up.
Hack and there is a way to, like, try to trick, like.
Yeah.
I started, it was really hard at first because I was someone that was, like, eye rolling, like, oh, it's so cringe and cheesy. But, like, try to find ways to have legit celebrations over the stupidest shit, you know, like. Totally.
The small wins, as they say, but they're not
but like,
small. But
even if at first, if it feels weird, like fake it till you make it then. But like my wife and I, when one of us is down, we will have a dance party for no reason. And you feel so stupid at first. You're like, really? Are we doing this? But then you're just like, okay, I'm dancing. And like, then you're smiling a little bit and you're like, all right, yeah, I feel better. And that's how we feel. Like, give yourself that. You don't have to earn feeling good. And so, like, yeah, the most be proud of yourself for anything that you can, because what's the point of feeling like shit? Yeah. That's my.
What's the point of feeling like shit?
That could be another one of your t-shirts, Ron.
What's the point of feeling like shit? And don't get me wrong, sometimes
shit,
you want to
please.
Feel like shit.
Sell them. I'm gonna put that on threads. I'm like, what's the point in feeling like shit? And I'm gonna get one like and a better me.
Imagining
better me from you.
That's so funny.
Just me and, just me and Lucy just selling each other's shirts, and that's all it's gonna be.
I got a sale. Oh, it's from Lucy. Oh, it's from Ron. Well, Bo, thank you so, so much for coming on the Lucy Pod. It was such a good conversation. I feel like we need to do another one because it was just so enjoyable. I'm going to wrap up, but where can people find you again? Plug it. Do it.
Okay, so our podcast is called I Forgot to Tell You Something. You can follow us on Instagram at I Forgot Pod. Our website is iforgottotellyou.com. Did I do it, Rod?
Yeah, you got it.
And you just listen to us, like where you listen to podcasts, obviously. Yeah. My Instagram is LizWelshman_ADHD. If you are curious about the retreats I'm running with Sarah Hoff, visit adhdretreats.com.au. That one is easy to remember.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it'll all be in the description for people who didn't listen to the end and were like, skipping.
I do want to also mention, I have, we're starting a nonprofit, me and another coach, Jay Lynn. Our goal is really, you know, we went to some of the ADHD conferences here in the States, and we really thought that there was some opportunity to get good, impactful information to people, making it more accessible, also being more connected with people in our community that are unheard. And so we were trying to find ways to reach the corners of our community that really aren't. And so we're really big on finding diverse, helpful, impactful content. And we want to bring coaches, therapists, researchers all together to do that. We're going to be having a virtual conference in the fall. But our project, it's called the Monoceros Initiative, which is really hard to say and spell, but it's a lot of fun. But you can also follow us at Monoceros is Monoceros. It's a unicorn constellation in the sky, and we just really like it.
Aww,
we also call ourselves TMI ADHD, but you can find anything on that on our podcast. Obviously, Liz gave you the website and Instagram. My Instagram is ADHD_Ron. You can also find all my stuff at ADHDcoachron.com. And yeah, like how often too, we're just constantly cross posting our stuff. If you find one of our things,
it'll
you can
great.
Find all of our shit. Yeah.
And it'll be in the description. I'll remember to put it in there. So thank you so much for being on, and thank you all for listening, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thanks,
Alrighty.
Lizzie.
No, thank you so much. It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one. Bye.